Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
The 2019 Iowa legislative session has begun. Let's go in-depth with Governor Kim Reynolds. Well, Governor, congratulations. This is the first time I've seen you since the election. Big day for you.
We got a big week, actually, but today was a big day. And I want to just start by, you know, just saying how honored and humbled I am to have the opportunity to continue serving Iowans in this capacity. I love this state, and I talked a lot about the positive momentum that we were seeing, but we weren't done yet, and so I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to continue to build on that momentum.
Well, I had the opportunity to hear your address today, and it was all a very positive message.
Yeah, and you know, the theme is the time is now. So last year we passed a lot of great policy and we did a lot of big things. It was a year of accomplishment, and a lot of that was with bipartisan support, and that's really important to me. So now we've got the policy in place and it's time that we implement it. And that means putting the dollars behind the program so we can get the results that were intended by the policy. And there's I believe this is an opportunity to do it in a bipartisan manner. So I'm looking forward to that.
We have a specific question.
Sure.
A high school principal this morning stopped me and just asked me what my day was doing. And I said, I was stopping by here, but he was very concerned with teacher shortages, mm-hmm. and a test called Praxis, mm-hmm. that the teachers have to take, and that he thinks that a lot of people that would be very good teachers are failing that test, and mm-hmm. especially for our rural districts. I think he mentioned that he had a young woman that had her education degree. She coached volleyball or something, great rapport with the kids, and mm-hmm. she couldn't pass that test, and now she's mm-hmm. out of education. I think he said she's a waitress. He really wants the legislature to address that test. He thinks is keeping a lot of good people out of education in a time when we don't have enough teachers.
Well, I think, you know, we're starting to do some positive things that I think is helping, you know, keep teachers in the profession. First of all, with the teacher leadership and compensation program that we put in place, really the big impetus behind that was to keep our young people in education. I mean, we've got to get them there first, and it's actually one of our high demand jobs, but we also have to keep them there. And what was happening is 5 years into it, they were exiting because they could make more money in the private sector, and we wanted to give them an opportunity to continue to advance in their career, take on additional responsibility, and then maybe earn some additional revenue in the meantime. We talked about Praxis when we did the blueprint for education and we passed the teacher leadership and compensation structure. And for some reason that didn't make it in the legislation that we passed. So, you know, he should talk to his legislator and see if there's an opportunity to start the discussion again. We're 3 or 4 years into TLC, so maybe, you know, this is an opportunity to do that. But what we've tried to do is just to really talk about how, you know, this is a really important profession. They have the biggest impact on our young people, our teachers that are in the classroom with them. And so we want to drive excellence in education. We want to make sure that we've got the best and the brightest that are, you know, stepping into that profession. And we're trying to do a better job of just driving that as well.
Well, I know he would want me to ask you mm-hmm. if you would keep that on your radar.
Yep, because we did. It's been a while, so I can't remember why or where the details behind the discussion, but we can take a look at that.
How's the education budget look?
Oh, good. I think feel good about it. I feel good about it. We, in my budget, it's about $93 million of new money, and that's in that money is included, it includes about 2.3% for state supplemental aid or the per pupil funding. So, you know, that the budget is in a much better place this year. We've made it a priority in the last couple of years, even in some pretty tough budget times. And so this year we've put, it's about $93 million, it'd be 3.4 billion overall in K-12 education. In addition to that, I requested another $1 million for STEM and $11.2 million for the disproportionate transportation cost for a lot of our rural communities.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. So I put another $11.2 million into that so we could keep that going.
Now, for a few years, we've fallen behind inflation, and I don't think that that number that you gave me, 2.3, catches us up.
It's what the inflation factor is for 18 and 19. You know, the schools say that, but they have to remember that in a pretty tough budget year, we gave them new money, and we didn't cut them. We held them harmless when many, many, many of the other agencies had to take a de-appropriation. So, you know, we've continue to make them a priority and will continue to make them a priority, but I feel good about that and look forward to working with them to get that through, working with the legislature to get that passed this year.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds. Now, I've been reading about the budget estimates, and every year it seems like there's some problems with it. But in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about the farm economy. Yeah. I mean, our hog producers, they're losing, last time I read, $18 mm-hmm. per hog. And that's a lot of money. And last year, this time, if I'm remembering right, they were making like 12 or 15. That's a lot of money that's not going to be in Iowa's and turning over in the state. Yeah. And I know a lot of it leaves the state pretty quick, but are you concerned about that?
That's why, you know, our economy is growing, the budget's balanced, their cash reserves are full, we have a surplus, so that allows us to invest in the programs that we believe will continue to grow the economy. But, you know, even when we did tax reform last year, we were fiscally responsible with that because we were watching the impact that trade would have on Iowa, the tax cuts that were passed at the federal level. We wanted to see what the overall impact on Iowans were from that. And so our ending balances are healthy moving forward, which is a good thing, but we just need to also be mindful of what are some areas that could impact our revenue going forward. So we're always mindful of that when we're spending money or reducing taxes or putting our priorities in place, and I think we've done a really good job of taking all of that into account.
Mm-hmm. Any changes going to happen to IPERS? I know I ask you this every time.
No.
Okay. Just no.
Thank you for asking that. No.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just move on. Why does it keep coming up, though?
Because it's a campaign strategy. There is no truth to it. It's really, you know, we lost, I think that was a piece of a reason we lost a couple legislators. But it's just unfortunate. You know, it's something that they fall back on every year. It's not true. We've continued to be in the majority. They've continued not to do anything that would impact Iowans that are counting on it. I'm counting on it. My daughter's counting on it. A lot of my colleagues are counting on it. So it's just, it's a campaign strategy that they think they can put the fear into state workers and people, anybody that's on IPERS, public employees, to get them to vote against Republicans. It's too bad.
How are as we speak, the federal government is still shut down. Mm-hmm. Is that impacting state operations, and how?
It hasn't yet. We're watching it really closely. David Roeder, who's the director of the Department of Management, he is our conduit with all of the different agencies. You know, it's a partial shutdown, so not all of them are impacted. But right now, we're fine. We have a process in place that if it does start to impact Iowans, that we implement. So right now, we're fine. I would sure like to see them act like we're able to, see them govern the way that we're able to in Iowa. You would think that two parties could sit down at a table and find a compromise to move this forward. We've done it. It's not impossible. They need to really come to the table and get this thing figured out.
What if they don't by the time SNAP benefits?
Well, I mean, we'll have to take a look at that and see what we can do in the interim. But right now, we're good. We're good for a while, and David continues to monitor that.
Do you have a plan?
Surely it can't. There's a plan in place. I mean, David's doing that. That's what the Department of Management's charged with doing. And so, if like they wondered if WIC was okay for a while. We brought him in, or he came in and gave us an update, and we're good for the next month or two, and so we've got some time. But so that's what David does. And we've been shut down before. Of course, this one's gone a lot longer than they typically do, but that's the role that he plays through this.
Now, we have the benefit of having former Governor Branstad over in China, and hopefully he's involved somehow in these trade negotiations.
Yes.
Are you communicating with him, and are you optimistic on this?
I talked to him yesterday. He's been involved in all of the negotiations in China. If he's back, or he's been involved in a couple of them back here in the United States. He's actually in Washington, D.C. right now. Every time he's back, he updates the president. He meets with him every time that he's been back, as well as Lighthizer and some of the other cabinet members. So he is working diligently to help get this resolved. That they are talking, they are working, so that's a positive sign. They just, I think, passed some additional GM traits, which was really good for corn and soy, so that was a positive step. So hopefully, I think what, they're on hold until March. They won't implement any of the new tariffs, so hopefully they can get something done before then. We just can't let them go, though. They can't continue to do what they're doing. They're a bad actor, and they need to be held accountable. And so hopefully they can figure out some resolution to move this forward.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds. I suspect you want to get beyond this issue, but as we speak, in Washington, D.C., Steve King is being censured. Should he resign?
You know, that Steve's going to have to decide that. I said after the election, it's obvious that he needs to decide if he wants to continue to serve Iowans in the 4th District and represent the people and their values. You know, it was a close election that's encouraged other people to take a look at it and to step in. I do not agree with what he said. I do not believe that this is reflective of Iowans and our state and who we are. And it's really, really, it's unfortunate. But he's going to have to make that decision. You know, it's unfortunate.
Wouldn't it be in the best interest of the party for somebody to just say,
well,
in the state, just...
You know, it's going to be hard for him to represent the district when he's been stripped of his committees.
And what are the impacts of that, do you think, for Iowa?
He's the representative, so he represents the 4th District. But and he's not going to have the ability to be on those committees and represent Iowans in the 4th District. So words matter, and there are consequences, and it's not reflective at all of who we are, the state, or our party. And that's why this is playing out.
Okay, on a more positive note, I just left a meeting where, some people were, I guess I'm not privy to say who they are, where they came from, but they're industrial hemp growers, and they're looking to, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. What do you think of industrial hemp? Is that something really positive on the horizon?
Well, I think it's something we should take a look at. Senator Shipley has been advocating for that. He was a strong proponent of it last year, as well as a couple other senators. Senator Capuccian, I think, also has been advocating for this. You know, it's in the Farm Bill, so now that helps move this forward with the states. You have some that have already done that, and I think this legislative session we'll probably take a look at that.
Now, during your address that I listened to this morning, you mentioned something about a couple of our communities in our listening area. You mentioned something happening about, well, actually a few in our listening area. Vermeer, of course, mm-hmm. was there. Tell mm-hmm. us about that. Mm-hmm. Indianola, and then separately Jefferson, where we've got another radio station.
So I started off the condition of the state address really recognizing the men and women who protect the citizens of this state, whether that was our men and women who serve in the military, law enforcement, or first responders. And I highlighted an individual that has done all of that, Billy Fox, who served our country on special forces, did a tour in the Middle East, found his way back to Iowa, ended up at Pella working for Vermeer. He'd started his search with the Home Base Iowa, which I love that component also. And actually, he started out on the line and was moved to safety. And I don't think people ever imagined the impact that that would have, but it was actually his experience and calm on the day that the tornado hit the Vermeer campus that went a long way in really saving the lives of over 3,000 people that were on Vermeer's campus that day. I was there the next day, and the devastation, oh my goodness, totaled one building, walls leveled, cars were on top of each other. Jason and Mary drove us around to really get a, you know, get the full impact of what had happened from the tornado. He had received an all clear from a paid weather station and just said, no, we're staying put, him and his team. And really, it another one came through, and I believe that that decision helped save lives, no fatalities. And when you as I drove through and took a look at the devastation, it's hard to believe that there were no lives lost. And then, so I wanted to highlight him and just thank him for his service and his leadership, and really for all the individuals that really, you know, protect the citizens of this state. And then we talked a lot about education and making sure that we're preparing our kids for the future, whether it's work-based learning or apprenticeship programs or computer science. And Indianola is a school district that is helping bring computer science into the elementary. They're doing coding for their kindergartners, first and second graders, I think. We were going to have the school there, and I was going to acknowledge them also with Des Moines University, and they had a late start because of the weather, and so they couldn't make it. So otherwise, I would have had the teachers and some of the kids up in the gallery, and we were going to, you know, give them a shout out and thank them for being really innovative and really helping prepare our kids for the jobs of tomorrow.
And then Jefferson.
And Jefferson is just that community, and there's others too, really embody, I think, the essence of the Empower Rural Iowa initiative. They're putting housing in place. They have the connectivity. That's why the Forge is locating there. The people have 14 new businesses that have moved downtown. They've rehabbed a bunch of buildings. The community, and this isn't easy to do, passed a bond referendum to create a new high school that houses a career academy, so they're partnering with the community colleges, and actually it's going to be a feeder to that new business, to the Forge that's located downtown. So that's an example, I believe, of what we can see happening in communities all across this state. And I just wanted to highlight that and kind of give a visual of what the potential is for communities across Iowa.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I'm just excited. I'm ready to get to work. We have a lot of opportunity. I really do think this is this will be a session where we can continue to get things done and put those ideas into action. And I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks to Governor Kim Reynolds for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.